and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The measure supported by President-elect Donald Trump to keep the government from partially shutting down this weekend fails to pass in the U.S. House. Today's bill was quickly drafted after Trump and billionaire Elon Musk criticized a bipartisan measure. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries called the GOP plan laughable.
The Musk-Johnson proposal is not serious.
CBS's Scott McFarlane on Capitol Hill on why there was difficulty in passing this deal.
Donald Trump wanted two big changes, among other things, from the previously crafted compromise to avert a government shutdown. He wanted the debt ceiling raised so it's not a problem for him in the first months of his presidency, and he wants some of the Democratic priorities cut out of the bill. The new proposal, much slimmer, includes those two things. It raises the debt ceiling through 2027, and it cuts a lot of Democratic programs.
House Speaker Johnson says they'll regroup and come up with another solution. Workers at seven Amazon facilities are on strike, and CBS's Carter Evans reports from a California facility.
Here in Southern California, they've been blocking Amazon delivery trucks, but eventually they're letting them through, so this might delay some deliveries. But Amazon says the strike won't have a broad impact.
The Teamsters Union says workers want better pay, benefits, and safer workplaces. A fast-moving storm brought snow, ice, and strong winds to part of the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin today. The Twin Cities have seen anywhere from 4 to 6 inches. WCCO's Susie Jones.
Okay, how's it going out here?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's a lot of snow out here.
I see it's a little windy. Is that kind of setting you back a bit?
Not really. It's just so much snow today. It was really unexpected.
The holidays are quickly approaching, and that means people are on the move. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez at Miami International Airport.
TSA expecting a record-breaking number, too. Those 40 million passengers expected to be screened between now and January 2nd, a 6% increase over last year.
AAA is predicting 119 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more between today and January 2nd. In the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, Luigi Mangione is now in New York facing federal and state charges, which his attorney calls a highly unusual situation. CBS's Anna Schechter reports.
The Manhattan District Attorney is charging on terrorism charges, which is one thing, you know, inciting fear and terror in the population. And then the federal charges, aside from the murder, it's really looking at him as a stalker. There are a couple of charges of him stalking and crossing state lines to stalk Thompson. So they're completely different. But the one thing that's the same is the murder charge.
This is CBS News.
Power up the holiday and give a gift from the top of their wish list. Visit your local Steel dealer today or shop online at steelusa.com. That's STIHLUSA.com.
We wrap up the week on Midday Magazine in part one with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Tessin, and in part two, Wisconsin Rapids Public School Superintendent. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 WFHR.
Wisconsin adds a wide receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After learning their top wide receiver, Will Pauling, is entering the transfer portal, the Wisconsin Badgers football team added a prospect from Ohio State, 6'3" Jaden Ballard, leaving the Buckeyes for the Badgers. NFL, the Packers begin 3 days of practice through the weekend as they host the New Orleans Saints on Monday night. College basketball, Marquette with a Big East Conference win over Butler, 80-70, Cam Jones with 23 points. The UW Green Bay Phoenix, losing at home to Division II Michigan Tech, 72-70. Head coach Doug Gottlieb, under fire for still hosting a national sports talk show, is now 2-11, losing their last eight in a row.
It doesn't feel good, but I think when you say rock bottom, it would lead you to believe that, like, Michigan Tech is some, like, schlummy team. Like, they got some really good players, they're very well coached, and they're on a win streak. And the big thing is, the hardest thing to teach in coaching is how to win.
As Green Bay head coach Doug Gottlieb with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Can you imagine not even having contact info for your parents? That's how Trinity Rodman is rolling these days, saying her father, Dennis Rodman, is only her dad by blood. Trinity, who is a professional soccer player for the Washington Spirit, appeared on the Call Her Daddy podcast and said her father's hard partying lifestyle as an NBA player was not conducive to him being a good parent. I believe that's true, but he did make a beautiful bride. FX's series The Old Man has two seasons in the books, and that is all, folks. The show about an ex-CIA operative played by Jeff Bridges, performed well in its first season and received 2 Emmy nominations. Season 2 received 3 Critics' Choice nominations, but that did not stop FX from pulling the plug. Despite this, it's a pretty good show if you want to check it out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Winter weather advisory continues. Another inch or less of new snow accumulation. Gusty north winds. Lows in the upper teens to near 20 degrees. For your Friday, skies will turn sunny with highs topping out in the lower to middle 20s. Right now, it's 22.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Luke Mathers stops by with a Friday edition of Tuesday Tangents with Luke and also our final day to win prizes in our Text to Win contest. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Happy holidays, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm your friendly on-air lawyer, economist, and friend, even when we disagree. You can always join us for some great conversation. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Just some breaking news while we were in our top of the hour break. Republicans announcing that they have a new plan to avoid government shutdown. Donald Trump tweeting out his support for the continuing resolution. So again, continue to watch this space. Cardi, what I'd like to do, since we're on this topic, and I got a couple of questions during break about this, I'd like to play Cut W, because one of the incredible bits of misinformation is that Social Security adds to our deficit. And that is false. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can just listen to Ronald Reagan explain it.
We're going to just keep asking members of the caucus as they come in.
That is not the right cut.
It have to be just the discretionary spending.
We not can the right get one. We're going to see if we can find it. It was the Ronald Reagan cut. That's not it either. That's Ron Johnson. I do not know where it went. Maybe it's cut V. Let's check that one out and see if that's Ronald Reagan. Let's take a listen here.
Well, Social Security, let's lay it to rest once and for all. I told you never would I do such a thing. But I tell you also now, Social Security has nothing to do with the deficit. Social Security is totally funded by the payroll tax levied on employer and employee. If you reduce the outgo of Social Security, that money would not go into the general fund to reduce a deficit. It would go into the Social Security Trust Fund. So Social Security has nothing to do with balancing a budget or erasing or lowering the deficit.
Ah, yes. The late, great Ronald Reagan explaining it all there for you. Cardi, that was my bad. That was gave me the wrong cut cue there, but we got there. Again, I just wanted to make that clear because, again, there's a lot of confusion about that. I have decided I'm going to do probably at least an hour on Social Security when I come back from my little holiday break the week of January 6th. Speaking of which, just a little housekeeping here, everybody. We have got great guest hosts lined up for you for the entire 2 weeks. We're also going to have a really special Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve show for you here at the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm going to share some of my favorite memories of this time of year with you all. So do keep us locked in. And after my show on Christmas Eve, Nightlight with Peach Schwabba is going to have a special episode. And then right at 6 o'clock, we're going to go into all Christmas music across the entire Civic Media Network, including our talk stations, for a little over 24 hours starting Christmas Eve. So again, we got you covered here for all of your holiday talk and musical needs, desires, and wants. So that's first thing. Again, big news, Republicans announcing that there is a deal on the table to keep the government funded to avoid the shutdown. And again, just wanting to be very clear, Social Security does not have anything to do with the federal budget or the budget deficit. Period. Next topic. I did have a little bit from Rachel Maddow on Elon Musk and his driving cars, self-driving cars, Cardi. If you've got that cut, I wanted to listen to this because I think it's a little lengthy, but it's important because the Elon Musk conflict of interest problem and the fact that apparently Elon Musk is now, you know, determining what American policy is and whether or not we get a continuing resolution that was negotiated by our actual elected representatives is important. So we're going to listen to this. This is from Rachel Maddow's show earlier this week. It was pretty gosh darn shocking. And I wanted to make this small correction. I did mention that Elon Musk isn't an American. He is not a born here American. He is a citizen. He became a citizen in 2002. Just wanted to make that clear. So, all right, let's take a listen. Can you turn the X-Files? Yep.
Crash eastbound on the Bay Bridge and inside the Yerba Buena Tunnel.
I thought I was a goner at first when it happened. I mean, you see something like that, it's like coming towards you at full speed. I thought, well, this is it.
So that was Thanksgiving Day 2022. Just a few months later, the news outlet The Intercept obtained video that showed that accident as it happened. It turns out it was a Tesla whose owner says the car was in full self-driving mode and the car just randomly braked super hard in the middle of the tunnel.
Total of 8 vehicles crashed, 9 people injured, including a 2-year-old boy. Just hours before the crash, Tesla CEO Elon Musk announced the launch of the full self-driving beta version, which he called a major milestone. But there are a growing number of reports of the Tesla technology unexpectedly slamming on the brakes. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration assigned a special crash investigation team to look into what happened. They're already investigating dozens of incidents involving advanced driver assistance systems from Volvos, Cadillacs, Hyundai, Genesis, and Cruise, but mostly Tesla.
Mostly Teslas. Earlier this year, the agency released its report on its findings after collecting all of this data for several years. It led to headlines like this, quote, Tesla's autopilot and full self-driving linked to hundreds of crashes and dozens of deaths. Government report described the data about these hundreds of crashes, but it also gave the specific details of some of them, including one particularly harrowing one from North Carolina. A 10th grader stepped off of a school bus. School bus was doing everything right. It was pulled over. It had its lights flashing, had all the warning signals that a school bus activates when it's letting off students to let everybody know around there that they need to stop. School bus was doing everything right. The kid was doing everything right. But a 2022 Model Y Tesla on autopilot mode nevertheless whipped around the stopped school bus and slammed into this kid. Reuters headline, quote, exclusive. Trump team wants to scrap car crash reporting rule. The Trump transition has apparently surveyed the landscape of public policy in the United States of America and has decided, you know what really needs to go? What needs to go as a matter of priority is this thing that we've had for a few years now where car companies have to report it when their car is on autopilot and it crashes into something. Now, what is the purported justification for getting rid of this rule and getting rid of it now? I mean, they can't just say, well, you know, this guy paid for the presidential election. Therefore, he kind of bought himself a government, and so he gets what he wants, right?
Yeah. This is the problem, right? Elon Musk, if he can tell Congress to stop the continuing resolution, tell Donald Trump what to do, why would Elon Musk not tell Donald Trump to do a bunch of stuff that helps out Elon Musk's businesses? So again, during the week of January 6th, at least an hour I'm going to spend on Social Security and at least an hour I'm going to spend just on Elon Musk and the conflicts and the contracts and the bailouts and the handouts and the help that he's received from the federal government. Because again, Elon Musk isn't a Republican or a Democrat. He's just the billionaire of the richest guy in the world variety. It's insane. That's insane that the federal government should stop requiring car companies to report crashes involving their vehicles. Why is that a good idea? And I'm going to put this marker down as well. So remember this. It's 3:14 p.m. on December 18th, 2024. The thing, maybe not that I'm worried the most about, but easily in my top five things about Trump 2.0 is the absolute gutting and dismantling of our data collection systems and our data collection mandates in the federal government. Because this, the data is how we assess whether or not policy is successful or not. And if we don't have the data, then you can say whatever the hell you want about whether or not your policies are successful, and no one has the information to say you're wrong. It's the logical next step in factual relativism, where lies become truth and truth become lies. As an economist, that is deeply concerning. And I know people are in this headspace where it's like, oh, it's just all made up. Yeah, people can do crappy and biased analyses. Yep, that happens. But what publicly available, reliable federal raw data provides you is the ability to go show that their analysis was crud. And so this one, on behest of Elon Musk, stop tracking crash data. That's just one example. So watch out for Donald Trump 2.0 dismantling federal data analysis, federal data collection, dismantling the regulations that require reporting of certain types of data. And watch out for what they might newly start tracking and requiring reporting of. Like, let's stop tracking those car crashes. Let's start tracking women's periods and pregnancies. Let's do that. We should have a Federal Department of Women's Menstruation. And I only mean that like half jokingly. I mean, for crying out loud, South Carolina's Republicans, they're reintroducing the death penalty for women that get an abortion. They're coming back on that one. Didn't quite get enough of it the first time around when it went down. Ooh, Lord. I mean, texting in, do you think any normal American believes Mad Cow, referring to Rachel Maddow? You don't need to believe what she just said. You can go use the Google box and find out what she said is true. It is. Donald Trump has proposed getting rid of car crash data. There are all kinds of investigations proceeding right now in the federal government about Elon Musk's self-driving cars. Like, forget Rachel Maddow. Who cares who the messenger is? Same texter, all lies today. What, sir, specifically, or ma'am, is a lie? Forget that it's me saying it. Forget that you disagree with me most of the time. Either Donald Trump has proposed eliminating the collection of car crash data, or he hasn't. And I don't think it's disputable that Elon Musk has numerous federal investigations going on right now into his self-driving cars killing people. I'm just saying, like, forget me, forget Rachel Maddow. Nice that you call a woman a cow, by the way. Lame. All right, I've gotten a little off topic. We're going to take your phone calls, though, because this is important and we want to have a great conversation. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
At some point, you'll need to take money out of your IRA and 401k. What should you know about these mandatory withdrawals? First, they're called required minimum distributions, or RMDs, and you must start taking them when you're 73, or if you were born in 1960 or later, 75. RMDs apply to your traditional IRA and 401k, but not your Roth IRA or Roth 401k. The amount you take out is based on your account balance and age, but if you don't take out the required amount each year, you could face a 25% penalty. You can withdraw more than your RMD each year, but keep in mind that your withdrawals are taxable. When you inherit an IRA or 401k, you still must take RMDs, but you typically must take out all the money within 10 years. After you've started taking RMDs, you must do so by the end of each year. So, if you haven't taken them for 2024, you may need to act quickly. Learn as much as you can about them. You'll want to make the right moves at the right time. This is Clay Kanoke, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the one.
I'm dreaming for arguments based on facts. And specific facts at that, and a willingness to talk about actual facts. Please, let's keep our eyeball on the federal data. Let's keep our eyeballs wide open about Elon Musk's conflicts of interest. I mean, if this was George Soros, do you think the right would be like, oh, that's good. Let George dictate U.S. policy. That's cool. No problem. I mean, come on. We cannot have rules for me and rules for thee. That's not how this works. One of our texters from La Crosse saying this. Why can't people see that Elon Musk bought the presidency? Dear texter, I don't know, but that's what he did. They continue. He couldn't become president on his own because he wasn't born in the United States of America. So Donald Trump said, go ahead, do whatever you want to. Just give me $1 billion and I'll let you take over. It was $277 million. But hey, a rounding error for Elon Musk. Again, the $277 million that Elon Musk spent on Donald Trump's behalf is less than a month's worth of his current money. Less than 30 days worth. And that's if he earns not a single cent more. Because the man can spend $10 million a day, every day for 100 years and still have just under $100 billion left. This is a problem. Especially if money is speech. Gene from Eau Claire, always nice to see you on my caller list. What's up, Gene?
Well, I'm just going to chew that, whoever that writer is, because if he wants to support Devil Don, who surrounds himself with Devil Don mouthpieces, it's unbelievable. I mean, this is an oligarchy. This isn't like our government. This is not anything like what our government used to be. And to watch the people just kowtow. I mean, Trump was running our government when he wasn't even in office, and these people were kissing his feet. I don't get it, Maggie. I really don't. You know, there's this thing called, remember subliminal advertising?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, we got a lot of that going on if people watch Fox. There's messages all over the place, and it's like, you know, people, when you confront them or ask them facts, they don't know any.
Yeah, that's, I just, Democrats have taken money from donors too, but it's not at the scale that has occurred for Republicans, right? Like it's, money in politics is always bad. Elon Musk and his purchasing of the U.S. Congress and the presidency is also not bad. excuse me, is also really bad, right? Like, let's just, we're going to criticize all of them that continue to support money in politics. All of us, red, blue, purple, polka dotted. Can we all agree that we want a constitutional amendment that says money isn't speech and corporations aren't people and we can have campaign finance reform? Can we all just agree to that and move forward from there? Can we agree that facts should matter and that grotesque conflicts of interest when you have billions of dollars of contracts with the federal government, that you might not be the best guy to assess government efficiency? I mean, maybe that's we can say that. It's just, it's painful for me. And I don't care if people hate me or think I'm a bad person. Again, there are actual facts. Can we please talk about them? Catherine from Madison. Hey, Maggie, thanks for the Ronald Reagan quote on Social Security. And thanks for being there and giving us the provable facts every day. You are welcome, Catherine. I'm doing my best. I won't always get it right. But when I do get it wrong, I'll apologize and correct the record. And we'll go back to trying to talk about facts. I mean, isn't this what it is? Tom from Jackson. Maggie, you're doing a great job with a huge, hugely important future road safety subject. Don't let the trolls get to you. I will not, my friend, Tom. I enjoy the feedback. I enjoy negative feedback because at least we can try to engage in some kind of a conversation. That is the entire point. Hey, Cardi, we got a caller that needs to get screened. Thomas from West Allis, you are next up.
Hey, good afternoon, Maggie. Remember, well, I don't know if you remember, but back in the 60s, Ralph Nader took on GM and destroyed the Corvair, wrote a book called Unsafe at Any Speed. In the 70s, Ford made the Pinto. And if you were rear-ended in a Pinto, they would become a big fireball. 27 people died in Pinto accidents. But 232 Teslas blow up, resulting in 83 people getting killed, and we don't even hear about that.
Yeah,
there's things that are just not right anymore, and I don't understand where, you know, even the Democrats should be all over this to point out these things, but there's just silence. I don't get it.
So frustrating, Thomas. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I am in a headspace where, like, every conversation I have with someone, I'm like, hey, do you know that Elon Musk can spend $10 million a day, every day, never earn another penny for the rest of his life, and he can do that for 100 years. Every day, $10 million a day for 100 years, and he will still have nearly $100 billion left. Like, does this make sense to you? If money is speech and corporations are people? Like, just answer me that. My angry texter from the 414 who keeps saying I'm spewing clickbait. Zero facts. Is my math wrong? Can you math with me, texter? Type into your little calculator, everybody. 10 million. Okay? Texter from the 414. Put in 10 million into your calculator. Multiply it by the number of days in a year, 365. And then multiply that by 100, the number of years we're talking about. And it's $365 billion. The guy is $444 billion. Do you think he's making democracy more healthy? I mean, come on. It's just so, like, do you not believe that math maths anymore? Can we go to 2 plus 2? I mean, come on, man. It's so frustrating. Keith, hello, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hey, Maggie, I like your 12-year-old texture there. That's really mature, you know, right back in middle school. But, anyway, so my thing, Maggie, is this. There is this feeling among some people on the right that we cannot attack the rich because, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll become a billionaire someday, you know? If they actually...
Oh, Keith, that is my favorite one. Remember when they renamed estate taxes to death taxes because everybody dies? Listen, everybody listening out there, these texters, Kamala got $1 billion. Yeah, that sucks too. Terrible. Shouldn't happen. But it's a matter of scale. Nobody listening to me right now is going to become Elon Musk. So now what? We come back, I got a so now what. Dom Salvia joins me. We're going to have a little holiday fun and put a pin in the politics. So keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy holidays, everybody. Just like the-
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. The House fails to pass a bill to avert a government shutdown this weekend. 38 Republicans voted against the bill, including Congressman Tim Burchett of Tennessee.
I come from a family of educators. I don't come from money or anything. And I have a hard time voting for a bill over $1 trillion that I haven't even been able to read yet.
Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin says they had a bipartisan deal before the GOP deal they voted on today.
It's just shameful that they allowed Elon Musk, who now everybody's calling President Musk, to blow this deal up.
No further votes expected tonight. There are picket lines outside of seven Amazon facilities in the U.S.
Get ready for a fight.
The Teamsters Union says the company ignored a Sunday contract negotiation deadline. Amazon says the picket lines are mostly outsiders, not employees or partners. The online retail giant says it does not expect the labor action to impact its holiday operations. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin at the wide receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After learning their top wide receiver, Will Pauling, is entering the transfer portal, the Wisconsin Badgers football team added a prospect from Ohio State, 6'3" Jaden Ballard, leaving the Buckeyes for the Badgers. NFL, the Packers begin 3 days of practice through the weekend as they host the New Orleans Saints on Monday night. College basketball, Marquette with a Big East Conference win over Butler, 80-70, Cam Jones with 23 points. The UW Green Bay Phoenix, losing at home to Division II Michigan Tech, 72-70. Head coach Doug Gottlieb, under fire for still hosting a national sports talk show, is now 2-11, losing their last eight in a row.
It doesn't feel good, but I think when you say rock bottom, it would lead you to believe that, like, Michigan Tech is some, like, schlummy team. Like, they got some really good players, they're very well coached, and they're on a win streak. And the big thing is, the hardest thing to teach in coaching is how to win.
As Green Bay head coach Doug Gottlieb with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Jim Carrey was serious about retiring from acting until he wasn't. The actor told the Associated Press that he was going to retire, but bought a lot of stuff and needed money. Desperation is not a very good negotiating tactic, so I'm guessing that is why Carrey probably walked back his comments to comicbook.com, saying he was joking. You can catch Carrey in Sonic Hedgehog 3 in theaters December 20th. In Where Are They Now News, one of the lovable thugs in Home Alone was played by Daniel Stern. You might remember him as the guy who had maybe the greatest scream in movie history when Macaulay Culkin put the huge spider on his chest. Stern posted a video on Blue Sky showing what he is doing now, tangerine farming. He gave his followers a tour of his studio and fruit squeezing apparatuses. It was actually really cool. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Winter weather advisory continues. Another inch or less of new snow accumulation, gusty north winds, lows in the upper teens to near 20 degrees. For your Friday, skies will turn sunny with highs topping out in the lower to middle 20s. Right now, it's 22.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
As all those last-minute shoppers cram up the roads and the stores, we'll ask Friday what we need to do to keep it the most wonderful time of the year.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
and Easter eggs and New Year's wine. But when my heart finds Christmas,
it is the holiday season here.
Eyes will shine like new.
And I'm so happy to be joined by my little buddy who's been getting himself a tan in places tropical. Looking good, brother. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. How are you, friend?
Hey, Maggie. I am great. Thank you for having me. Great to see you back from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I woke up yesterday.
Did you throw some paper towels?
I did not.
No,
I did
paper
not.
Towel
no,
throwing. Okay,
no,
that's
no,
good.
No paper towel throwing. lots of rum and pina coladas and mojitos.
Do you like pina coladas and taking walks in the rain?
We were actually in the rain drinking pina coladas. This week. So yeah, I my life is literally a song.
Yes. You said it, friend. Listen, I want to first say thanks to the texters and callers who made for an incredibly lively discussion. I come into these shows with a plan, and then you all blow my plans up, and I love that. That means we are doing what we should be, which is having a great conversation, even when we disagree. The name-calling, maybe a wee bit less of that. It's a little, you know, juvenile. Also, I'm just going to say this. I love the disagreement. But when you call me a liar or you say, Maggie, you're all full of it or this, that, and the other, listen, let's be specific, because if you're not specific, I can't actually engage the conversation. So if you want to call me a liar, tell me what I said that was inaccurate. If you want to do whataboutism, I'll call that whataboutism, because I had a texter, again, ticked off that Kamala Harris took money from donors. Mm-hmm. That's because the rules for our elections stink for Democrats. Democrats shouldn't be taking money from billionaires and donors either. But I did point this out, and there are tons of charts out there that you can actually do a comparison. If you take the 10 wealthiest families in the country that donated to political campaigns and you stack up their donations. And one of the things that we're worried about is not just the raw amount of donations, but donations from individualized sources, right? Like that's because that's how you buy influence, right? And that's how you control policy. When you stack up those 10 wealthiest families, it was like on a $5 to $1 basis they gave to Donald Trump. So like, it's not, what about? Yes, that also stinks and shouldn't happen, and money isn't speech. And Donald Trump got way more of the richest family's money than did Kamala Harris. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids asks a great question. Here's Tyler's question. I wonder if Elon Musk could give every man, woman, and child in America $1 million and still be a millionaire. Should we actually try to do math?
I never do math on the radio.
I think I can do the math on the air. So there's 330 million of us, and $1 million has how many zeros? It has 9 zeros, right?
Six.
Six zeros? Yes, 6 zeros. So $1 million has 6 zeros. So if you add 6 zeros to the 330 million of us, right? So you go from 330 with 6 zeros and you add 6 more zeros, that's 12 zeros. I think that's over Elon Musk. I think that might be $3.3 trillion. I think that's what that is. I will figure that out. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, I just tried to do math on the radio because they were zero. We're multiplying by tens. I should be able to do it. But I will actually find that answer out for surely and let you know. Because yikes.
My math says $330 trillion.
Oh, that's an even bigger number
than my number. Yeah.
$3.3 trillion.
But, you know, don't quote
again,
me on it. We're on the radio.
We're on the radio. It's hard to do math on the radio, even when you're somewhatly good at math. By the way, somewhatly, not a real word.
It becomes a word.
Money is speech. Corporations are people. Okay, I promised everybody we'd move on, and here I am wallowing in the politics more. Dom, I wanted to talk about fun holiday stuff with you.
Yeah.
Because we are in the season. It is that time. First of all, I wanted to share with everybody, you know, for many of us, this can be a bit of a lonely time, right? If you don't have big family, you don't have a ton of plans. And I think all of us have had those moments in our life where we've been a little lonely. And I wanted to ask you, Dom, like, What do you do when you're feeling either a little sad or a little lonely? Like, how do you pick up your spirits? Do you have advice to people that are listening to pick themselves up if they're feeling a little alone over the holiday season?
Well, I would just, it's very rare. Let's put it that way.
You feel lonely.
When I get the alone time, sometimes it's welcomed. You know, there's a lot of peopling going on in my world these days, and sometimes all the peopling can be overbearing as well. I mean, I think there's a lot of that as well, right? Not just
there's a feeling people can be lonely. Yeah, there's a feeling sometimes even when you're with a lot of people, you can still feel lonely.
Oh, right.
Right? Yeah. That is a very real thing. I describe often, I lived in New York, and sometimes I did feel lonely, but sometimes I felt also like I can be alone in the sea of people, and that worked for me. So I take your point.
Yes, yes.
So just maybe at times that you've been a little sad, what do you do to bring yourself out of that? Other than talk smack on the radio, my
friend. Besides that, go for a walk, go to the gym, you know, go grab a drink, engage in the things that you enjoy. You know, it's not always the social part of life, man. You know, self-care is a big thing. And, you know, I'm a very social person, and so I draw energy from other people, and it gives me energy. But if there's a time that I would be sad, and it's so very rare, man. When Dad passed, I drank a lot. I guess that'd be but I wouldn't suggest anyone
doing that. Don't do that.
Engage in the activities that bring you joy. If it's reading, if it's sitting down reading a book, do that. If you like going to the gym, working out, you know, do something that you, if you're going to go to the gym, go do leg day. You know, if you're always a bench press guy, mix it up, go do some legs.
You know? Do some legs. You'll feel good.
Do some legs, bro. You know, get on that. Do some cardio, those kinds of things. And that's for me. And everyone's got their hobbies and the things they enjoy. I think when you have an opportunity, and you know, because it gets so busy.
It does.
It gets really, really busy. And I'm not a big fan of the word busy, because we can, you know, dig a hole and fill it back up.
Well, it's like everybody has a lovely sense of humor, right? And it is very funny and is also very busy. I've never asked someone, hey, how you doing? And they're like, you know what? I'm real bored and things are super slow at work. I'm just coasting and phoning it in. Like, I don't hear that so much.
I hear it a little bit.
Well, that's just from you, Dom.
Phoning it in, Maggie. So, you know, it is tough. I think, you know, the difficult times for me have been really around family, you know, Pa not being there, you know, Ma not doing too well in the home and all that. So those things, and you reflect and enjoy the times that you had, you know, and I think those are, remember those things and try to then, you know, can't replicate it. But engage in it. You know, we just went on a trip and we took our adult kids with us. Adler's 22, Izzy's 19. Yeah. And it's been so long. And I see them jumping in the ocean, in the waves. And they remind me. It's like when they were kids, when they're just little 6-7-year-olds. You know, it's so you can't recreate it. Those days are gone. Every minute that's gone, you can't go get back. But you can make an effort to purposefully engage and try to do those things that bring you joy.
One of the things that, and I don't care where you are in the state of Wisconsin, it can be at a tavern, it can be after a religious service, it can be at your local grocery store. One of the things that I think can help people break out from a funk, if you will, is, hey, just go have a nice little conversation about nothing with a complete stranger.
Right. Yeah.
And like, just like sprinkle a little sunshine and smiles. And like, usually in the state of Wisconsin, you will almost like 99.99999% of the time
go to the grocery store. Someone will talk to you at the checkout line.
Give a call. I don't know. Invent some questions, some assistance that you need. Call up a store, you will end up in a conversation. Right. Go to a Starbucks, someone will end up in conversation. Because that's what we do here.
Yeah.
We reciprocate those kindnesses. I was reading up on just some of the things to break through loneliness or a little bit of funk. And obviously, I think some of it is like, if you feel badly, sometimes you can't fight that. It's just like, oh, not having the best day, but maybe I'll just take a pause today, and tomorrow I'm going to get up and go grocery shopping or get some things done.
Self-awareness and knowing that, because not everyone, you know, some days are great, you know, some days are okay, and some days are a little tough, and know that, you know, the great days are never going to last forever, nor will the terrible days, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And being able to recognize those. And a lot of those feelings are all within our head. I think that's the other thing, too. I mean, it's so weird. I can wake up some days, nothing has changed. The weather's the same. I'm the same weight. Yep. You know what I mean? And some days I'd be in a better mood than others. And why is that? Yep. You know what I mean? But I don't know why that is. There's all sorts of reasons why that could be. But recognizing that today's that's how I'm feeling. And then, and then kind of, you know, adjust for that. Not to overcompensate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but like maybe today isn't the best day.
Today's the day, best day to do X, Y, or Z.
Right. And, well, reassess tomorrow.
Some days super efficient. Today, really efficient. Well, I was off for a few days. You know what I mean? Got back today, man. I was like, man, if I could work like this every day, I'd get everything done. Yeah. But, you know, that doesn't last. So, you know, when you're riding that wave, ride it out and get what you can done. And when it's a little slower, at least in your head maybe, and those things and the work things and life things become a little more complicated and burdensome, hold them back off. Lighten up a little bit.
Yeah, you can. Throttle back.
Yep.
Okay, so Dom, wanted to ask you about some of your holiday memories. Do you have a like Christmas present that you either gave to your kids or that you got as a kid that was like, oh my God, it's the Red Ryder BB gun. Oh my goodness. So excited. It was like the best thing that you ever got or gave as a kid or to your kids.
What I got as a kid.
Yeah.
What was amazing.
Yes.
2XL.
What's 2XL?
2XL was this little robot looking guy. And it was basically an 8-track tape. And you put the 8-track in it and it asked you questions. You'd punch it.
You old dude.
And, yeah, I know. you know, it was basically a modified 8-track and you put the buttons over the label over the buttons and it would answer questions and it'd skip through the tape and it was the coolest.
He was your
thing.
Little buddy.
He was our
you
little
had
buddy.
A little buddy.
I had a little buddy, my little 2XL. We were so excited. I must have been 5 or 6 years
That's
old.
Like Teddy Ruxpin. It was like a talking teddy bear. It was super cool. So my like best kid get gift ever was a ping pong table. And my parents played this so well. My dad had wrapped up just ping pong paddles and the ping pong balls. And so I unwrap it and I was like, okay, cool. Like, what am I supposed to, what am I supposed to do with this, Dad?
Go hang out the bowling alley.
He explained he was a kid. He grew up in the city. We used to just play it off the wall, and me and my buddy. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's kind of lame, but okay, it's Dad. I'll give it a good try. And he said, well, you know, I think we've got some good wall space in the basement. So we went down into the basement with my ping pong paddles and balls thinking this is going to be lame. How long do I have to entertain Dad for with the playing ping pong
nice.
Off the wall?
Got
and
you.
We came around the corner and there was this huge ping pong table set up. We were probably down there. Now, the funniest part was we smaller house lives. They still live in the city. So the ping pong table was set up in the furnace room, so it was real hot in there. My dad and I would stay down there for hours. It was like my dad turned into a kid. My mom would be like, Mike, Maggie, dinner. And we're
stop
down
on
there.
The floor.
Yeah, exactly. We're down there whacking the pit, sweating because the furnaces are just pumping out the heat. Apparently, my dad stayed up until approximately 3 o'clock in the morning putting that puppy together.
That's awesome.
Every parent knows that assembling the Christmas presents into the wee hours of the morning, maybe with a couple of four letter words. Folks, those sweet dulcet tones you hear are from Dom Salvia. He's my little buddy and yours. He's got the great show that follows mine from 4 to 6 p.m. every Monday through Friday. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're having a little walk down memory lane in anticipation of the holidays. You want to share some favorite holiday memories? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. When we come back, I want to know about, have you ever had any gruesome sledding incidents, Dominic? Because I've had a couple of near-death experiences, my friend. Again, we want to hear from you all. Favorite memories of any stripe surrounding the holidays. Let's keep it positive. As we wind up this Thursday show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Brief couple of messages and we'll be right back. Keep it locked, folks.
When my heart finds Christmas, I hope it finds you too.
When the angels sing.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
To everyone who craves a sweet treat with a little something special, let us tell you about our concrete mixers at Culver's.
There's so many reasons I love fresh frozen custard. It's so rich, so creamy. It's the perfect treat. But when I handcraft it with all of your favorite mix-ins and see your smiles after every spoonful, it's clear what makes our concrete mixers so special to me is making them just for you.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South. In Wisconsin Rapids.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The morning show on WFHR. It's comedy?
I think for me, one of the quick ones that I have is like telling time on an analog clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it takes me a minute.
It takes me a minute. It takes
me a minute. Now, that was funny. That was at least groan worthy. At least groan worthy.
So I needed a minute for it to sink in.
That was funny. That was good.
Every weekday morning from 8 to 10, only on 97.5 FM, WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Little Bing Crosby, wouldn't be Christmas without him. Happy holidays, everybody. I'm with Dom Salvia, who's got the fantastic show that follows mine every Monday through Friday, from 4 to 6 p.m. We're just having a little fun this afternoon, talking about some of our favorite holiday memories. We've got David on the line from California. David, what's up, friend? Do you want to share a memory or make a comment, sir?
Well, yeah, it's funny. You're talking about favorite memories kind of thing. My dad, when my parents divorced, my dad married a nun. And the nun was big in the school district down in St. Louis. And so my dad got white hair by the time he was about 30. So when he would grow a beard, she would put him out there in the school district doing Santa Claus.
Aww.
And he did that for about 30 years. And I remember going one afternoon to I took my video camera down to one of the elementary schools, and he would sit there for hours. And I think there were like 300 kids that came up to him, and they'd all pull his beard. They couldn't believe it. He got on the front page of the paper. He would do the hospitals, and he would do the all sorts of different charitable events. And so my dad was Santa Claus.
Oh, David. That's so amazing. Well, Merry Christmas to you, and thank you for sharing your wonderful memory of your dad. Thanks to your dad for sharing his talents and his real beard with your community. Take care, my friend. Folks, you want to get in your special holiday memory, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Kimber from Muskoda saying she had a fort set, and she ensured that the Native Americans, then, of course, un-PC called Indians, always won. I love it. You are a progressive, even as a kid, Kimber. Sherry from Horicon says, hey, Dom. Keith from Broadhead sharing just appreciation to you and I, Dom, for helping lift his spirits. He had lost some loved ones around the holiday season. Chuckster from Racine reminding everybody it's election day today in Racine for Racine County Executive. The polls are open until 8 p.m. It is either our area Piggly Wiggly magnet or the magnate. It's either a Piggly Wiggly magnate or a longtime civil servant and county clerk that is running for Racine County Exec. Mary from Mount Horeb texting in a great book, Don't Believe Everything You Think. Why Your Thinking is the Beginning and End of Suffering. Thanks for sharing that. I love a good book. I will be checking that out. And we got Kathleen on the line. Kathleen, happy holidays to you. Do you have a memory to share or a comment you'd like to make?
Hi, Maggie. Thanks for having me. Yes, so every year we would decorate gingerbread houses pretty extensively. My mom even made her own little template and made a ginormous gingerbread house. Well, one year
wow.
we had licorice on top. We had I had unwrapped all this big red gum and used as shingles.
Oh,
and we went to church, and my mom put it on the counter thinking it was, you know, safe. And our three dogs, one of them found it and brought it down on the floor. And so we got home from church, and there was three dogs
crumbs.
With red sticky crap all over the place.
Oh, my God. Did they have cinnamony fresh breath? Kathleen, did the dogs have cinnamony fresh breath from all the big red?
Yeah, and super sticky. And I think I was responsible for cleaning them up. I don't really remember all the details, but.
Yes, you blocked it out because things rolled downhill to the youngest child. You cleaned that up. I tried to put a gingerbread house together once, and I was just humbled. Humbled! Not the easiest thing. Okay, Don, we got just a couple minutes left.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite additional holiday memory or sledding fiasco that you've gotten yourself into?
So growing up on a hill in the middle of nowhere, Stevensville, Wisconsin, between Hortonville and Shiocton, we were on a hill and we had some like grass for a while and then it was pine trees.
Yes.
And we would take our sleds and that was fun, but we decided to get Dad's toboggan out one time.
Danger.
Didn't really steer very well and you know, right down, and that thing goes fast.
Right, all right. The weight.
Yeah, and we crashed into a tree and broke the toboggan. And
that's what you get for horsing around. Yeah, you'll poke your eye out, Dom.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Okay, so my little sledding fiasco was this. Me and my three best girlfriends from high school. Yes, we were in high school. 2 inches of snow on the ground, just enough. 2-3 of that fluffy stuff that gets compacted and then it just gets real slick. Before the plows came through in the Washington Highlands in the Wauwatosa neighborhood on an intertube that was real big, like the two mans.
Yeah.
Going down a big steep hill. And it would take two of my best friends together to equal one Maggie back in the day. They're little tiny petite people, kind of like you, Dom.
Yeah.
So we get going on this sucker, and there was basically like a hairpin turn at the bottom of the hill with a big old double banger mailbox.
Oh.
Well, you get a couple of seconds down that hill, and my friends started screaming because that was what we were bearing down
see
on.
It, right?
So I reached over my friend. I was on the left side of the two-man inner tube. Grabbed the handle and kind of like wrenched us to the left and bailed us out. We were not perfectly unscathed, but those little injuries sure beat slamming into a double wide mailbox at about 30 miles an hour. Listen, everybody, happy holidays. Dom Salvia is up next. Hope all is well with you and yours. Take care, everyone. We got a special show for you tomorrow. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Take care out there.
But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. To face unafraid the plans that we've made, walking in a winter wonderland.
Sleigh bells ring.
Are you listening?
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, everybody. For my last show before I go on break, I'm joined by political editor Dan Schaefer for his naughty and nice lists and his wish list for 2025. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Join us on Tuesdays for Community Stories and Thursdays for Community Stories Junior, both from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WFHR. Your host, Melissa Kay, brings together folks of all ages from our community. With history from our elders to innovations from our young people, Community Stories brings in-depth local stories you won't hear anywhere else right here on WFHR. Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 5 to 6.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A looming partial government shutdown and after a GOP short-term funding bill failed to pass today, no further votes are expected tonight. House Speaker Mike Johnson says they'll regroup. CBS's Robert Costa on why the original bipartisan agreement was changed at the last minute.
This moment reflects how much President-elect Trump is at the center of all negotiations across Washington. Yes, Elon Musk is involved with Vivek Ramaswamy and others, but everything is going through Trump himself down at Mar-a-Lago. On the phone, people are checking with him from the Speaker of the House to top senators. He needs to be the one to give his approval for almost anything now to pass.
If a government shutdown kicked in this weekend, millions of federal employees could be furloughed and federal contractors would not be paid. A winter storm socked parts of North Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin today, bringing heavy snow, ice, and bitter cold. In Rochester, Minnesota,